You can scream and shout with all your might.
I even scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinions up your ass, or either Trump and Fuhrer's cock or something to keep it coming.
Either you are wrong or I am right.
Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, you have a present, the most likely due third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. You can go fuck yourself. Welcome. Here we are again. Here I am again. Here you are again. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the prisms of my intellect. Homes in on it, destroys motherfuckers all around the world. Does not matter what kind of statist you are. You can be a left-wing statist, a right-wing statist, an anarcho-statist, libertarian statist, a cyber statist, environmentalist statist. You can be a statist. It does not matter. I don't give a shit. All right, we're delving right back into it because there's a lot of shit to cover. I will just say this. Has anyone else noticed YouTube is no longer sending me any subscription notifications? You know, you subscribe to a channel and they send you a notification when a new video is uploaded. And I have two different YouTube accounts and I have subscriptions on both of them. They're different emails and everything. I'm getting nothing to either of those. So it's not just a matter of my Cynical Libertarian Society account is being, you know, censored or blacklisted or, you know, unsubscribed or whatever it is. I'm getting no. And it's not just from right-wing channels either. Right? Like the fucking yoga people that I fought. Nothing. I'm getting nothing from YouTube all of a sudden. I haven't had time to look. I could maybe Google it and find out what's going on. But I just find it odd, and it's been going on for days. If they had a technical glitch, they'd have fixed it by now. One would think. All right, so speaking of fixing things, we're delving back into, we're still cruising with the book, Loser Think, How Untrained Brains Are Ruining America, by Scott Adams. We're on page 185. This book, again, reminder, was written in 2019, or at least it's copyright 2019. Page 185. Race relations. If you make the mistake of paying attention to the news, you might think race relations in the United States have deteriorated to an alarming degree. I can't breathe. BLM. I believe that is mostly an illusion caused by the business model of the press. So, the BLM riots are an illusion caused by the business model of the press. Now, evaluating this objectively, you know, the George Floyd related BLM riots, it's a blip on the radar screen of history. And Scott Adams, of course, is talking about much larger trends here. So while I can sit here and poke fun and go, hey, how about those BLM riots? I mean, we're being intellectually honest here. He's looking at larger trends. He's not looking at isolated events. And that's what the BLM riots are. So, I mean, again, humans have short attention spans. And yes, the BLM riots and George Floyd, the gentle giant, you know, and all this shit, it's in the news right now because it's selling advertising. But people have short attention spans, and this is all going to go away, if it hasn't already gone away. Because I don't keep up with these things. I don't even know. You tell me. Has it gone away? Today is, what is today? Today is August 24th in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer. I haven't looked at the news, be it television, internet news. I mean, I guess I've looked at Twitter. But you are the riots, are they still happening? Are they still a thing? Is this still what's being shown on CNN? Is it still going on? I don't know, because I don't care. Bad news sells, and bad news about the Trump administration sells better than anything, according to CNN boss Jeff Zucker. The fire hose of biased news coverage blinds us to any positivity we might otherwise notice. And Scott Adams is right about that. Donald Trump has sold more advertising time for the news media than anything else in the history of the news media. My favorite example of that was when the press hammered President Trump for what they claimed was his habit of criticizing African-American women. This, they said, was clear evidence of his alleged racism and disrespect for women. The president did criticize several high-profile African-American, notice they're African-American, not American, that tells you something, African-American women within a few weeks, and that was enough to create a pattern in the mind of the president's critics. What they left out of their analysis was that President Trump insults 100% of his critics, no matter what demographic group they are in. The very next week, he was tweet-slamming several white males and anyone else who needed it. Tweet-slamming. Oh, that's great. That's what Trump does. He does, and yeah, he has been, oh, Donald Trump is racist. No, I agree. Again, Scott Adams is completely right here. Donald Trump insults 100% of the people who criticize him. Name somebody who's criticized Donald Trump that hasn't been insulted. My interpretation of this situation was that the reason so many black women were being targeted by the president was because those women were extraordinarily successful in their careers. So much so, I have to flip the page, that the president of the United States had to address their criticisms. The women Trump criticized were playing the blood sports of politics at the very highest level. One of the greatest success stories in race equality you will ever see was widely reported as the opposite. If the president of the United States is attacking you for your criticisms, you're doing a lot right in your career. That's another valid point. I mean, the fact that Donald Trump took time out of his life as a white man to bother insulting these black women, I mean, they should feel honored. Anytime a man pays attention to a woman, period. This doesn't even bring skin color into it. Anytime a man is paying attention to a woman, the woman should be grateful for the attention, because we know that without attention, women don't exist, right? Women are like Schrodinger's cat. If they're not being observed, they don't exist. Women need attention, and they need attention all the fucking time. Furthermore, I would love it if Donald Trump criticized me. I'd milk that for all it was worth. The week I am writing this chapter, President Trump tweeted that he fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, the former CEO of Exxon, was dumb. Rex Tillerson. What? Oh, I can't read. Hold on. The week I was writing this chapter, President Trump tweeted that his fired Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, the former CEO of Exxon, was, quote, dumb as a rock and, quote, lazy as hell. Old rich white guys are not safe from the president's counterattacks. The proper context here is that Trump attacks anyone who attacks him first. Personally, I found it inspiring, and I mean this literally, Hitler, that so many African American women had achieved the same target value as Rex Tillerson. A lot of black women in America are experiencing sensationally successful careers, and this is a deeply positive sign. Yeah, sure. I mean, if you think that a woman's purpose in life is to have a career, yeah, I guess that's a positive thing. See, notice how but they've got fat. We just can't stop hearing it from women. And I mean, again, Scott Adams, very smart guy, the 80-20, blah, blah, blah. He's kind of a fucking beta male. By kind of a beta male, I mean, he's a beta male. These women have successful careers. Okay, well, good for them. They have careers. That's great. I live in California, and I won't pretend my experience is typical of the rest of the country. But from my perspective, race relations on a person-to-person level are better than ever. And again, he has a point here. Okay, on a person-to-person level, race relations are pretty fucking good. Your George Floyd riots are not a person-to-person level. Your George Floyd riots are a blip on the radar screen of history, and they are mob activities. They are not individual activities. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not going soft on the racial thing here. I still want separate nations for different racial groups. Okay, we are different nations. I want us to live in different places. But again, the notion that there is all of this racism running wild out there. And then, of course, it's only white people that are ever racist. We know this. This doesn't even need to be pointed out. And that there's all these white people that just want to go out and just shoot black people for the sport of it. I mean, it's not really that much of a sport because we're so much smarter than black people are that it's like fish in a barrel. Oh, see what I did there? That was great. God. But, you know, when you black people are going to act all sensitive and fucking panty-waisty and sissy and get offended by every fucking racial joke, what you're doing is just you're just encouraging people to make more racial jokes just to see you get offended, right? It's like when you're a kid, if somebody's doing something to you and you tell them that it bothers you, what are the other kids going to do? They're going to do more of it because you've let them know that that's your weakness. So, you know, my weakness, the thing, I absolutely hate it when really good-looking girls, like, for example, the CSU women's volleyball team, have sex with me. That's the worst thing that could ever happen. Yeah, God, if you just, there's nothing worse than hot girls wanting to have sex with me. But from my perspective, race relations on a person-to-person level are better than ever. There is more interracial marriage. Yes, but that's not a good thing. Historically high employment rates for all minority groups, which would be higher if we took women out of the workforce. And a generally improved comfort with each other as friends, mates, and neighbors. Only because of the brainwashing of diversity as our strength. And when times get tough, that's going to be one of the first things in our society that breaks down. Because diversity is not strength. If it seems to you there are more racist groups in the country lately, keep in mind that the people who track those things, such as the Southern Poverty Law Center, are paid to find it. If you pay me to track the number of racist groups in the country, I'm not going to skip the three guys in South Dakota with a website they made all by themselves. If you pay someone to find ghosts and eradicate them from your home, the service you hire will probably tell you they found those ghosts. Don't trust data from people who have a financial incentive to find lots of whatever it is you are tracking. Right. So, for example, Wuhan flu. There's people making a lot of money tracking Wuhan flu. Global warming. There's a bunch of people who make a lot of money pretending that global warming is real. And of course, as Scott points out, racism. There's people like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Southern Poverty Law Center. What kind of name is that? Who make money finding racist. So yes, of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center is going to find a racist under every rock, because that's how they make money. That's how they get clicks on their website. That's how they sell advertising. And never, ever believe the bad news you hear in the press is as bad as they say when there is a political dimension to the story. Because in those cases, the press is generally just taking sides. If you see an increase in racism in your daily experience, that is a big red flag and you should not ignore it. But if the only place you see an uptick in racism is on the news, or as reported by groups paid to find a lot of it, maintain some skepticism. In my opinion, based on living for several decades, racism in America has declined every year of my life, and next year looks good too. Next year, of course, is the year when we're having the George Floyd riots. All right, anyways, that was his race relations. Okay, we're jumping over to page 201. All right, so now, writing this book and pointing out all of the loser think and blah, 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 Scott then closes this off with a chapter about how to break out of your mental prison. And he gives you some tips on thinking better and evaluating things. And it's good stuff. It's very good stuff. I want to read a section of that to you, and we're going to discuss this. We're on page 201, Fake News Filter. One of the most useful systems I have developed for understanding the world involves routinely flipping back and forth between CNN and Fox News coverage. When I encounter someone who is stuck in either one of the two sides, left or right, I could quickly recognize the situation because they lack awareness of the argument on the other side. It's one thing to disagree with an opposing viewpoint, but is a far bigger problem if you have never heard it. And that is a common situation in American politics. Recently, I asked a prominent Democrat if he was aware that smart people such as Bill Gates, more Bill Gates dick sucking. Bill Gates is not that fucking smart. Bill Gates just was in the right place at the right time and made some good business deals. That's not the same thing as being smart. And that's certainly not the same thing as being an expert on vaccines and tattoos and world hunger and nuclear power. But anyhow, we'll suck Bill Gates' dick some more, because apparently this is what, I don't know, old rich white people do. Old rich white men, Bill Gates, Scott Adams, old rich white men, I guess they go around sucking each other's dick. I mean, I'm not old, I'm not rich, I am white, I'm a man. Maybe this is an old rich white guy thing. Recently, I asked a prominent Democrat if he was aware that smart people, such as Bill Gates, believe modern nuclear technology, specifically Generation 4 plants that are safe from meltdowns and eat nuclear waste from other sites as their fuel, are the most promising path for dealing with the risk of climate change. He said he was unaware of it, and he didn't think others in his political peer group were aware of it either. Well, no, because, again, people filter out anything that doesn't support the belief systems they already have. And they have belief systems because, as I've talked about before, if you have to believe something, that's because you don't have evidence for it, right? I don't believe that Scott Adams wrote a book called Loser Think. I mean, there's a book right here in front of me. It's called Loser Think. It says got Scott Adams' name on the front of it. It's written in his style. It's got his comic books on it. I have evidence that Scott Adams wrote a book called Loser Think. I don't need to believe anything here. There's nothing here for me to believe. There's no faith involved. For many Democrats, the risk of climate change is seen as catastrophic, and yet their news silo prevents too many of them from being aware of the most promising way to address it. And that's also because, once again, as I've said, the narrative of climate change is that it is caused by CO2. Right? And this is why when I talk about global warming, I'm being very specific. Global warming is a situation in which the environment of the planet Earth, the climate of the planet Earth, is going to become uninhabitable to humans because of increases in CO2. And the only way this can be fixed is by raising taxes and restricting freedom. That is the narrative of global warming. That's different from the climate changes, and that's different from pollution, and that's different from all these other things. But that is the narrative. If you talk to the average left-wing statist, you're liberal, you're Democrat, you're progressive, you're feminist, you're eco-wacko, you're socialist, you're commie, you're Antifa fag, that is what they will tell you. It's something very specific. The Earth will become uninhabitable. It is because of CO2. Once again, it's not because of the sun. That's why climatologists don't pay attention to the sun in their climatology models, right? It's the same reason why Republican conservatives sort of ignore the fact that the Confederacy did actually start the war between the states, because they have a narrative where the Republicans started the war to free the slaves because they're such wonderful people. Anything that doesn't fit that narrative, they have to ignore. That's why your fucking global warming, quote unquote, scientists ignore the existence of the sun, because the narrative is that global warming is caused by CO2. And they ignore nuclear power as a solution because the narrative says the solution to global warming is restricting freedom and raising taxes. Stories without proper context are a dangerous type of fake news and often the hardest to spot. Here are some tips on identifying potential fake news. Four-point check. News that is true will generally be reported on the same. News that is true will generally be reported the same on right-leaning news sites, Fox News and Breitbart, as well as left-leaning CNN and MSNBC. And I agree with that. That's why whenever I see something on some, you know, somebody sends me a link to something, the Daily Mail UK or whatever, and, you know, single mother in ghetto ass rapes her 14 children by 36 different baby daddies while cashing her welfare check. I mean, okay, it sounds great and I'd like to make fun of that, but I go looking for this. If I can't find this somewhere in the left-wing media, then I have to assume there's some kind of exaggeration. I mean, I've come to the same conclusion when I see something like, for example, you know, the Aggie Achieve program. Okay, we talked about that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Texas A&M, if you're retarded, literally Hitler retarded, I'm not talking about retarded like you vote Democrat or you believe in global warming or you suck Bill Gates' dick all the time. Okay, I'm talking about actual retarded people, like with an IQ of 55. Actual retarded people can now attend Texas A&M. And well, I think it was $10,000 a semester, because this ain't free, but they can pay college tuition to attend A&M to take dumbed-down classes to get not a diploma, but a certificate so they can feel good about themselves. Right? So I see something like that. If I saw that on Breitbart, I would think, okay, there might be some exaggeration or something here. And that's why I go looking for that same. And then when you find the same thing being covered on left-wing websites, and when you find the woman, what was her name, Carly, who came up with the concept being interviewed on YouTube by some other left-wing statist woman, and she's talking in glowing terms about how retarded people can pay money to go to A&M. Okay, now I believe it. Because I've seen it from the right-wing websites, and I've seen it on the left-wing websites. But he's absolutely right. If you're seeing a piece of information only on CNN or only on Fox News, you really, really, really need to question whether or not that information is a thing. If only right-leaning news sites or only the left-winging news outlets report something as fact, it probably isn't. And I'm still trying to get my voice together, as you guys can obviously tell. It is 9:30 in the morning. It's the first time I've talked. Team bias. The side that is out of power is more likely to generate fake news. When President Obama was in office, Fox News told you he was destroying the country in 1,000 ways. CNN was a bit more balanced about President Obama and more likely to talk about his accomplishments. Under President Trump, CNN pivoted to nonstop negativity about Trump's performance, and Fox News became more of a cheerleader. The news outlet whose political side is out of power does the most fear-mongering because that's what sells to their viewers. And also, keep in mind, when Scott says the news outlets whose political side is out of power, that's absolutely true. The news outlets, they have a political side. I mean, God help us if in the year 2020, unless you're like 3 years old or something, if you're sitting around and you're thinking any of the news outlets, be it MSNBC, CNN, Breitbart, Fox, if you're thinking any of the news outlets do not have a political side with whom they are aligned and for whom they are rooting, then I have to assume that you should be attending the Aggie Achieve program. I mean, even I have a political side, anarcho-capitalism. And I sit here and pretend that I am unbiased. The side that has its preferred president in power has the advantage of being able to point to some of the accomplishments over time, even if they have to exaggerate to do so. Mind reading. Look for signs that news pundits are reading the minds of politicians to find problems. That usually means things are not as bad as the headlines suggest. The news business needs a full pipeline of news, preferably the bad kind, to feed their business model. If all they can find to complain about is their own opinion about the unspoken thoughts of strangers, the world is in a good place. And that's another great point that Scott makes. You know, you look at a lot of the stuff that you see the news media complaining about, and you think to yourself, man, if that's the biggest problem we've got going on right now, we're doing pretty fucking good. You know, Donald Trump called somebody fat. That's the biggest problem on the planet Earth right now, is that Donald Trump called someone fat. Okay, we're doing great. We're doing fantastic. Doom predictions. Look for signs that the reported bad news is really a prediction of doom from someone who is a political partisan. Predictions of doom from cheerleaders for one team or another are almost always exaggerated. Wuhan virus. Global warming. we're about to run out of oil. Oh, there's going to be food riots because we're all going to starve to death. Manufactured outrages. Look for signs that pundits are actively misinterpreting or taking out of context someone's comments that would have been no big scandal without the devious sleight of hand. And we have plenty of manufactured outrages out there. Absurdity. And once again, this one I'm kind of with him, but we'll talk about it. Absurdity. If you see news that is so absurd, it is literally Hitler, unbelievable, that's usually because it isn't true. Although, once again, these days, I don't know where the border is between what's believable and what isn't. This is why I constantly see things on fucking Twitterverse or, you know, whatever, and I look at this, it's like so outrageous. You know, it's like the ghetto single welfare mother with the 17 babies by 32 baby daddies ass raping her children while cashing her welfare check. I mean, on one hand, yeah, that seems a little outrageous and unbelievable, but my God, these days with the downbreeding and the stupidity, I mean, you can't put anything past people. It's hard to tell, and that's why you've got to think. I mean, you've really got to analyze the shit you see in the news, because it's becoming more and more difficult to separate the absurdity, the false absurdity, from the real absurdity. I mean, Aggie Achieve program. 10 years ago, if you would have told me that retarded people could pay college tuition and go to college to get a certificate, I would have told you that was absurd. Now, it's reality. Colleges will actually take thousands of dollars per semester from retarded people to give them a certificate in exchange. The old saying in the news business is that dog bites man is not news, but a man biting a dog is. It would be highly unusual for a man to bite a dog, but no one could imagine it happening in our crazy world. So that doesn't qualify as absurd, just unlikely. The absurd case would be a story about a pet cemetery located near a nuclear waste site that reanimates a dead dog that went on to bite someone. Or another absurd story would be a virus that's going to kill millions and millions of people, even though it only actually infects people that have no immune systems, have pre-existing conditions, are fat, or are old. Fog of war. For breaking news, don't believe the first quotes you hear, the body counts, the implications for the future, whose fault it is, or much else about the story until some of the noise settles down. Experience tells us that the initial reports on most things are inaccurate. And again, that's another one he's right about. You know, because as soon as something happens, all the news media outlets are all rushing to cover it because they all want to get you to turn to their channel so that you will see the advertisements that they run so that their ratings go up so they can charge more money to sell advertising time, right? So they're going to say anything and everything and the most outrageous shit. They're going to say it as soon as they can. Again, it reminds me of the South Park episode where something's going on and the reporter's on there and goes, "Tom, we're reporting that millions of people have died." And Tom says, "So have millions of people died?" "Well, no, Tom, nobody's died. We're just reporting that millions of people have died." And that's the fucking news media. Well, Donald Trump is a racist and he said he's going to put all the black people in concentration camps. Well, is Donald Trump building any concentration camps? Well, no, but we're reporting that he said he's going to put black people in concentration camps. And now a word from our sponsor. Page 211. In 2018, Roseanne Barr posted a career-crippling tweet that was widely criticized for sounding racist. She tweeted that former Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett looked like what you would get if the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby. That's a funny line if you have seen Valerie Jarrett's haircut. And you know that the character played by white actress, Helen Bonham Carter in Planet of the Apes, and, this is the crucial part, you are unaware that Jarrett is part African American. Roseanne claims she was unaware of the fact. Personally, I wouldn't have guessed it either based on Jarrett's looks. Well, judging people by their looks, Scott, that's a little bit racist, isn't it? You should just assume that everybody is African American until they prove otherwise, maybe. When critics tore into Roseanne for an alleged racist tweet, she immediately denied it had racist intent. I found her denial credible. What public figure would intentionally compare an African American to an ape in public and think it would all work out? Even an actual racist wouldn't do something that dumb, assuming they also starred in a hit television show. To me, it isn't a credible accusation that Roseanne's tweet had a racist intent. Now, the reason I'm reading this to you is, once again, this comes back to something I keep saying about the POCs who keep pretending that they're victims. Here we got Scott Adams, old rich white guy who sucks Bill Gates' dick, has a lot of money, very smart person, writes great books, all of which you should read. I haven't read a bad book by Scott Adams yet. I mean, if he wrote bad books, we wouldn't be on episode, I think this is episode 5, talking about the book, right? I don't do fucking 5 episodes of a podcast talking about a book that sucks balls. See, what's Scott Adams saying here? I'm going to mind read. I'm going to read his mind. What he's saying here is that we're not allowed to compare African Americans, because we got that hyphenation thing going on. Either you're African or you're American. You don't get to be both. We can't compare, nobody would intentionally compare black people to apes. Now, brown people, it's okay. Yellow people, fine. Red people, sure. White people, yeah. But we can't compare black people to apes. Okay, this goes back to why the POCs are not these fucking victims that they pretend they are. Once again, when an entire society has to alter their speech and the words that they use and the metaphors they make and the jokes that they make in order to not offend you, you are not being oppressed. You're the ones who are in power. The POCs, literally Hitler, control the words that white people are allowed to say. And so listening to the POCs trying to present themselves as oppressed victims while they have the power to control the words that white people say, while telling us that white people are oppressing them, is absolutely fucking nonsensical. The POCs are tearing down, physically tearing down our statues, physically, literally Hitler setting our buildings on fire, while pretending that we are oppressing them. And then we white people are going to give these POCs welfare, free health care, and we're going to go to the buildings that they burned down, and we're going to clean those buildings up and replace them with new buildings. But they're the ones who are being oppressed. Jumping over page 218. 218, last full paragraph. What do I got here? Okay. For the past several years, I have been writing about American politicians using what I call a persuasion filter. Through that work and the interesting people I have recently met, I have learned things about the true nature of reality that are so startling you wouldn't believe me if I told you. We can test that assumption because I'm going to tell you right now. By the way, just so you know, this when he says that this is so startling you wouldn't believe me if I told you, no, I absolutely believe what he's about to write. I have no doubt about this. There are only about a dozen people in the United States, perhaps six people on the political right and six on the left, who decide what the public thinks about politics. That small group routinely influences how the news is framed, and the rest of the pundits simply amplify the messages and brainwash the public through repetition. And yeah, he's absolutely right. And once again, well, it sounds like a conspiracy. Well, first of all, it's not a conspiracy because it's on television. If you turn on CNN or Fox News, you see every person on CNN and every person on Fox News having essentially the exactly same opinions about everything. Well, what do you think about Donald Trump? Oh, Orange Man is bad. What do you think about Donald Trump? Orange Man, he's bad Orange Man. What do you think about Donald Trump? Well, Donald Trump is a racist. He's a bad orange racist. What do you think about Donald Trump? Donald Trump hates Mexicans. He's a racist. I mean, there's no conspiracy. You can watch the news and you can see for yourself everyone saying exactly the same fucking thing. Well, Donald Trump is the only hope for America. Well, Donald Trump is going to make America great again. Well, Donald Trump is the greatest president ever. He really cares about everybody. He's a working class care. He cares. Well, Donald Trump, he's making America great. He's going to build that wall. He's going to make us great. Everyone says the same fucking thing. Well, global warming is a hoax. Well, global warming, we're all going to die in 10 years. The ice caps are going to melt. Those are the two opinions you're allowed to have. Turn on the news, you get one of those. I'm sure you have noticed the sameness in how pundits handle their respective narratives on the left and the right. None of that is an accident. A handful of influencers create the framing for stories, the pundits amplify, and the public believes. If you believe the news you consume is organic and unbiased, you might be less of an informed citizen than an accidental member of a cult. And he's right about that. And this brings us back around to scientist. Because we track back into earlier discussion here, where I explained to you that Scott Adams is getting confused about the difference between a scientist and a scientific method. The scientific method, I should say. The scientific method is a thing, and it works, and it's reliable when it's applied correctly. Scientist, such as the ones who think that global warming is a thing. Again, global warming means the climate will become such that the Earth is no longer inhabitable by humans, and it's because of elevated CO2, and the only way to solve this problem is by raising taxes and limiting freedom. Okay? That is global warming. That is a religion. We're now talking about the fact that the climate changes, which the climate does naturally. The climate of the planet Earth, in case you haven't heard this from me before, you're new around here, the climate of the planet Earth has been changing ever since the planet Earth came into existence. It will continue to do so. Climate change is a real thing because the climate changes. Global warming is not a real thing. But there are scientists who think global warming is real. There are scientists and there are people like Scott Adams, based on what he said in his one and only Twitter stream that I ever listened to, who think that the Wuhan hoax is a real pandemic. And that Wuhan, much like, remember when, once again, let me repeat myself again. But remember when we were told that HIV was going to explode among the heterosexual population? Because the people saying that got that narrative from the six people on the political left that control the frame. And right now, all these so-called scientists are running around saying that the Wuhan is going to explode. We're all going to die. There'll be millions of deaths. We got to wear our magic fabric, our magic underwear over our face for the rest of our lives. We're all going to die. Do you hate grandmothers? Do you want these grandmothers to die from the Wuhan? Is that why you won't wear a mask? And so before you believe some shit like global warming or the Wuhan hoax, remember, there are only about a dozen people in the United States, perhaps six on the political right and six on the left, who decide what the public thinks about politics. And guys, global warming and Wuhan, that's not science, that's politics. It's politics wrapped in a fucking sheath of science. It's wearing this sheet that has science written on it. You know, it's like some kids, they got together, like, hey, let's be pirates. But they didn't have any pirate outfits, but they had some white sheets. So they thought, well, let's be the Ku Klux Klan. No, so they said, let's be ghosts. But I don't want to be ghosts, I want to be pirates. So they took the sheet and they got a magic marker and they wrote pirate on the sheet and they threw the sheet over themselves and they're walking around pretending to be pirates. But they're actually just having sheets over their heads. Okay, that's global warming. That's Wuhan. It's pretending to be science, but it's just politics. Now we're going to back that ass up. We are going to go backwards in time to the beginning of the book. Don't ask me why it doesn't just, it's because the way I took notes. Deal with it. Now we're back at the beginning of the book. Scott is talking about dialing down your ego. How much do I got here? How much time do I got here? Ooh, can the great one do it? Hell, dude, my ego, of course I can do it. Life will serve up a variety of situations in which you might want to dial down your ego. I would not know anything about that. For example, when you find yourself in disagreement at work or in your social life, it can be helpful to remind yourself that the other person might be right this time. Once again, that doesn't apply to me. This is one of the reasons I recommend keeping track of how often you have been certain about something and later learned you were dead wrong. For example, if you believe a political situation will unfold in a certain way, make a specific prediction, write it in a diary, share it on social media, or tell a loved one who is likely to later remind you if you are wrong. The important thing here is to commit to predictions based on your worldview and make a big deal about them so they are harder to forget. Put your predictions into the world outside your head so you have a chance of checking them later without the problem of selective memory. Which I've talked about selective memory before, how your memory, blah, blah, blah. And this is why, because what we're actually talking about here, because this section is called dialing down your ego, what we're actually talking about here is me, because everything's about me. This is why on my website, I have a page of predictions, when I make official predictions, and I still haven't put the prediction about the Wuhan resurfacing in time to cancel Christmas. I've got to fucking remember to do that. That's why I have the prediction page. So you can go there. You can see when I've been right and when I've been wrong. Not to mention the fact I have 15 years of podcasting that you can get all of it if you buy the archive, which you can do on the website. My predictions are out there. And I agree with what Scott is saying here is the point. The points he's making, he is absolutely correct. People fucking, and this has been long my complaint about the fucking pundits and the media. These people get on TV and they make all these predictions, but no one ever holds them to it. And you idiots, you see these morons on CNN and they say, well, Donald Trump is going to put all the black people in concentration camps. And you get all scared. But then Donald Trump never does that. And then the same idiot comes on and says, Donald Trump is going to put all the Jews in concentration camps. And you get scared again. And you don't remember that this moron said Trump was going to put the black people in the concentration camps. And he was wrong about that. Right? Nobody has memory. Nobody remembers all the times that all these pundits have been wrong about things. And the pundits have been wrong virtually all the time. The most frightening thing is the person on the news who is the most right is actually the fucking weatherman. And the weatherman is wrong, what, 75% of the time on a good day? But compared to everybody else you see in the news media, the weatherman is a fucking genius with 100% accuracy rating.